briefly go over that. But go to Acts chapter 1 tonight. And I mentioned that the Lord makes it very clear here concerning, if you want to see the outline there, it's on letter B under number 3, the distinction between the kingdom of God, church of God, and family and kingdom of Israel. Just to relate to you there, we'll read that, but I'll come back to that and explain it more. It says in verse 3, to whom also, Acts 1, 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked, do not understand the definitions of the Word of God. So Father, help us tonight, and help us to see the applications as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we think of the family of God, remember the family of God is everyone who's saved, who has God as their Father, both Old Testament saints and New Testament saints, not only on earth, but in heaven. That's what Ephesians 3:14, the family of God is in heaven and in earth. That's a large body of believers, amen, in heaven and in earth. But the kingdom of God I detached my microphone here. The kingdom of God are the born again ones who have Jesus ruling and reigning over them. And that's now on the earth. So the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ over those who are born again and have the Holy Spirit. Remember in John 3 he said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. So that is now a body, a large body of believers on the earth who are truly saved, who've been born again, and have Jesus as their Savior. Now, here's where the problem comes in. You have many who want to make the family of God, the kingdom of God, and the church of God one and the same thing. That is the confusion. You could be in the family of God and be in the kingdom of God, but not be in the church. That's what you need to understand. People can be saved. They're going to go to heaven. Doesn't mean that they're in the church. Because the church is an organized assembly of baptized believers. It's an organized assembly. It's a local assembly of believers. Now on Sunday we're going to have a baptism, and a lot of the preparation I've been going through with those getting baptized, teaching them about the church and the bylaws of the church and the covenant of the church and what it means to become a member of the Lord's church. And so a lot of that's going to be communicated on Sunday, because I'm going to be preaching about church membership. Now, obviously, that will not, it'll be just one message, but there's a lot of themes that need to be touched on about church membership. And one is, number one, is it biblical? You know, there's churches that don't even require membership today. So we have to ask the question, is it biblical? And obviously it is. And then secondly, why join a church? Why should you join a church? And so on and so forth. These are messages that are forthcoming. Amen. Being confectioned right now that are so important. And I hope you can see when you think about the church. We talked a lot about the church. Preached a lot about the church on Wednesday nights. So we did go through the definitions, and we went through the descriptions. How do you enter the family of God? By faith, amen, in Jesus Christ. You're born again to enter the kingdom of God. We see that. And that the kingdom of God, yes, right now, it is here on earth. It is spiritual. It is invisible. But there'll be a future literal millennium of Christ's kingdom on earth. And that's, remember in Acts, when we're talking about here, he preached unto them for things pertaining to the kingdom of God, they being assembled together, that's the church. And they asked him, what about the kingdom to Israel? So they understood. Remember, the Old Testament, they had that view of seeing the Messiah coming and establishing the kingdom. That's what they were expecting. That's why they were so sad when Jesus was crucified. And they pretty much gave up hope, even though, how many times did he preach to them? Brethren, they had to be Baptists, amen? They had to be Baptists. They're like Baptists today. You can preach 100 times and then a guest comes in and says, boy, that's the first time I ever heard that. When the pastor said it about 2 dozen times, you know. Anyway, there is a future literal millennium of Christ, the kingdom to Israel, and we know what's going to happen. Then there's the eternal kingdom. So when you think of stages of development of the kingdom of God, yes, it's big, amen? It's broad. There's a lot of promises in the Word of God. And those of you that are in the Sunday school class, remember all that we talk about through the minor prophets and their prophecies concerning the future kingdom. It's amazing. Now the church, and I think this is where we left off. Yes, it is. Number 2, letter C. I'm sorry. This is something important. I remember I needed to get back. The church of God. Letter C. That's on page 2 for me. I don't know what page it is for you. The church holds the keys to the kingdom. Go to Matthew 16. This does not have to be some mysterious type study tonight, like some deep. No. What are the keys? What do you think the keys are? And I think the Bible tells us very clearly. Remember the promise. He's going to build his church, verse 18 and verse 19. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, are used interchangeably in the Bible, meaning they're one and the same. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So when you think of keys, think of authority, one, amen. If you have a big wad of keys on your side there, you're a pretty important person. You got the keys to everything. Or ability, amen. Ability. Keys open things, amen. And so when we think about the church, and this is where, let's make it very clear, and this is when you get back to the church, but it's not what it is, it's not practiced today. But everyone that's in the kingdom of God should be in the church. Do you see that? Because they're saved. They're born again. They should all... There's no record of New Testament saints other than John the Baptist, right? And the thief on the cross. That was not a member of the New Testament church. They're all members. You got saved, you got baptized, you became a member of the church. That was God's will, God's plan. So, we should, everyone in the kingdom should be in the church. And so, the church holds authority over the members. I know this is not accepted well today, that you're under authority, but you are. If you're a member of the church, you're under authority. And we know that Matthew 18, it talks about discipline. And he's telling very clearly that what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And God wants us to exercise wisdom and the scriptures on making decisions. And even when it comes to discipline, you don't enter ever into that lightly or rashly. But you weigh these things out and you pray about God's will. And you obviously, there's certain things that have to be acted upon. There's certain sins. Don't get me wrong. That's clear cut. This is what you do. But I'm saying there's certain cases where you're like, let's work this out. Let's pray about it. Let God do something here. And then it may not work out. Then you have to act. But when you act, this is bound in heaven. That's what God says. That's an authority. That's keys. The keys of the kingdom. But also in a very practical way, go over in John 20. And this is where churches can be disobedient to the Lord. And you know what's sad? Because churches are disobedient, many souls are going to go to hell. And in John chapter 20, he says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins are ye retain, they are retained. He says, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Verse 21. This is the Great Commission. Now, let me ask you, how do you retain sins? I'll tell you how. Not preaching the gospel. If we don't preach the gospel, people will die and go to hell. Their sins are retained. They're going to die in their sins. But when we preach the gospel, that's the key of opening the kingdom. They're born again through the gospel. They enter the kingdom of God and their sins are forgiven. See how important it is. It's the message. It's the gospel that opens that door. Remember Luke 11:52. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, didn't he? The scribes. I want to say the scribes in this case. Let me get over there. Because they were interpreters of the law, remember? And what do we have here? Woe unto you lawyers. They're the scribes. For ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves. And them that were entering in, ye hindered. You see, they took away the key of knowledge. They were shutting up the kingdom of God. They were not able to enter into the kingdom of God through their false religion, through the false message they were preaching. There was no entrance, and Jesus rebuked them. So we have the key, brethren, to open up the door to the kingdom of God. That is the message of salvation. Remember what John the Baptist preached? Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He understood that. Now, number three, the difference is, and I don't know, am I ever going to get through this material? The difference is between the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel, and church, very clearly, we have, let me give you some practical things here. It's in letter A, the differences between the kingdom of God and the church of God are as follows. Just let me go through this list. There's a lot of material. You can read it. I guess it's probably not even fill in the blank right there, is it? 1-11. So you can take time, but very simply, we have the differences between the kingdom of God and church. Number one, the Greek word for kingdom is basileia. The word for church is ekklesia. They're never used interchangeably in the Bible. Number two, the kingdom of God is spiritual in nature. Therefore, it is invisible. It has no place to attend. So the kingdom of God is not meeting in one place. However, the church is a visible assembly of people that can be seen, heard, felt, and placed in a specific locality. Number three, the kingdom of God is one because it's composed of all believers. Remember how many people believe, oh, well, the church is a universal, invisible body of all believers. Well, they're wrong. That's the kingdom of God. That's not the church. But churches are many in the Bible, remember? When you speak of kingdom, it's singular. It's one. But churches are plural in the Bible. You have the churches of Galatia, the churches of Macedonia, the seven churches in Asia. But there's only one kingdom in the Bible. So they're not this one and the same things. Number four, the kingdom of God is universal because it contains all believers who are scattered throughout the world. However, a church cannot meet without a real place. It congregates in a definite time in a particular place. Number five, one becomes member of the kingdom of God by regeneration or the new birth. One becomes a member of a church by water baptism. All saved believers are in the kingdom of God, but disobedient Christians who are not baptized are not in the church of God. Number six, all members in the kingdom of God are saved because they became members through the new birth. However, in the church, there are members who are not saved because they've never been born again. Isn't that sad? Everyone in the kingdom of God is born again, but some people can slip into the church and not be saved. Now, God knows them that are His. Don't get me wrong. But from our human standpoint, they're members. Number seven, the members of the kingdom of God are permanent because we cannot lose our salvation. Members in the church can change membership to another church when they move to another place to live. Number eight, in the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ is the king, but now the kingdom has no organization. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and the church has organization, like officers, pastors, and deacons. Number nine, the kingdom of God has no ordinances, but the church has the baptism and the Lord's Supper. Number ten, the kingdom of God has no responsibility to administer discipline. Members in the kingdom have no instruction in the Bible to administer discipline. But the church has the precise instructions for administering discipline. And last of all, but remember, this is not an exhaustive list. The kingdom of God is a theocracy because Jesus Christ is king. And he does not need to ask anyone for help to do anything. The church practices congregational government in the sense that each member has a vote when the church needs to make a decision. Now, letter B. There's a distinction between the kingdom of God, the church of God, and the kingdom of Israel, which is the millennial kingdom of Christ on earth. This is what we read in Acts 1:3-7. We have Jesus very clearly speaking about the kingdom of God. And, you know, it's interesting. Paul preached a lot about the kingdom of God. You don't hear a whole lot of preaching about the kingdom of God today. Jesus preached a lot about it. Paul preached a lot about it. We ought to understand the kingdom of God. Amen. Jesus spoke far more about the kingdom of God than any other topic in the Gospels. Then you have the church. Remember, although the word church is not found in Acts 1 there, in those first verses, they assembled together. They met together. They were being together. That is a church. And he gave them the great commission, as we know in Acts 1:8. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's the church. Then the kingdom of Israel, as we saw in context, this is distinguished from the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Israel. Why? Because it's prophetic in nature. It's future. This refers to the kingdom of Christ on earth for 1,000 years. We have seen these prophecies like the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and 11 and Jeremiah 23. Now, in conclusion, and I'm going to finish, letter C, what are some errors when we do not make any distinctions between the church, the family of God, and the kingdom of God? Number one, the autonomy of individual and local churches is lost. For example, the Catholic Church is an example because they have a pope as their head instead of Christ. They believe that the church and the kingdom are equal. When there is an organization about the church, they have incorrect beliefs about the church and the kingdom. And then, number two, there is also the error of incorrect definition of the church. An incorrect definition. Many people believe that all believers are members of God's church. They do not see the meaning of the word ecclesia in the Bible. Remember, I challenge you, read every verse where the word ecclesia is, and you come away believing what God says. It's a local assembly of baptized believers. There's nothing else. Number three, there's a mistake of believing that people need to be members of the church to be saved. Don't people believe that today? If they believe that the church and the kingdom are one, then if you're outside the church, you're outside the kingdom. Number four, you fall into the error of regeneration by baptism. This is what they believe, that baptism is a requirement for salvation. They believe that you enter the kingdom of God through baptism. And that also means you enter the church because they're one and the same. It also leads to the error of infant baptism. They believe that if children are born with sin and sin is washed away by baptism, therefore children need to be baptized to become members of the church and the kingdom of God. And then there could be this error. Think about it. When you're excommunicated from the church, then you lose your salvation. Because you're not only leaving the church, in their definition, you're leaving the kingdom of God. Do you see all the confusion that this brings in theology? And it's real. It's out there. People have all these confusions about the family of God, the kingdom of God, and the church of God. The truth is, Satan is building his false kingdom with unsaved people. He's blinded the minds of them that believe not the gospel. We know that Jesus taught you enter the kingdom of God by the new birth in John 3:3. Go to Colossians 1:13. This is what God does at salvation with us spiritually. And this is amazing. Through the power of the gospel, when you believe in Christ, Look what happens. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? This is, if you start reading the whole context, you'll be reading about the gospel and the power of the gospel and Jesus Christ. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. This is salvation. We've been translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So we thank God for the power of salvation. So when you look at the family of God, are you a member of the family of God? Through faith in Jesus Christ? Are you a member of the kingdom of God? Have you been born again? Have you entered the kingdom? Have you been translated from the power of darkness to the kingdom of Christ? From the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of Christ? And then, are you a member of the church? Have you been scripturally baptized? Have you given public testimony of your faith in Christ and become a member of the church of God? It's important, these distinctions, these descriptions, and these definitions, and I hope you will keep them in mind as you talk to people and as you read your Bible and as you preach the gospel and as you counsel others. You'll be able to show them in the Word of God, no, this is the family of God. This is the kingdom of God. This is the church. And very important and practical in our Christian lives. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight, we want to thank